Come before you this morning, how we thank you. How we praise you, dear Lord, that we have one like you who is the giver of all givers. All the dreams in all of our life that we could ever have are fulfilled in you, the gift that you have. And Lord, I ask that this morning you would bring that truth to every one of us, young and old, of the wonderful gift that you offer. May we never tire of the story. But Lord, may it be fresh to each and every one of our hearts. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Since we do have some children here this morning, which is quite exciting, I have one little favor to ask. It's not New Year's yet, but I think that crying babies, though, they are like New Year's resolutions. They are best when carried out. So if you happen to have a child in here this morning and they do have a tough time, get them out of here, please. We have sound out there, and so you can see through the window, and we can just, thank you. You get the idea. But you know, this time of year, of course, is a time, it's interesting, the whole world is wrapped up in many ways, at least in giving. And it ought to be, I suppose. It's a wonderful thing. The Bible teaches it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, and how wonderful it is to be able to give. And, of course, many businesses are quite excited about that. Many are hoping to wrap up their final quarter of the year with a healthy season of people giving. And I suppose in the next week there will be an amount of giving around the world, or at least in our country, that will, of course, go into the billions and billions and billions of dollars. There will be all sorts of diamonds and jewelry and clothing and toys. There will be cars, there will maybe be houses, there will be estates probably given in one way or another, but there will be awesome gifts given. Every year we always seem to hear some gift and different things that are given that people give to one another. But as you would contemplate with me, David, just for a minute this morning, what gift of all the gifts of all the world, that if you could have any gift of all, what would it be? Think of it. Think of a gift. The most magnificent gift you could even begin to imagine that could ever be yours. This last week we were back east ministering, and we were taken to a place called the Biltmore House. Any of you ever been to the Biltmore House? North Carolina? A few of you. It's quite a home. It's, to say the least, it's the closest thing in the United States, I suppose, there is to a castle. In the early 1800s, there was a fellow named Vanderbilt, of course, who borrowed $100 from his mother. And by the time he died, he turned that $100, and this is in the 19th century, turned it into $100 million. He then turned the bulk of all of that over, $100 million, to his son, who in his lifetime, he turned it from $100 million to $200 million. And then he turned it over in the late 1800s to his son. His son then decided he wanted to enjoy it more than make more out of it. So he went and he bought 125,000 acres in North Carolina. They're in the most beautiful country in the whole United States. And there, as he bought this acreage, in an area of it, he set aside to build what he called the Biltmore House. 170,000-square-foot house. And there, this every room in this house is not a shed by any means. Not just we go by and we hear of 170,000-square-foot buildings, you know, that companies buy, and that isn't a great big deal to them. But if you could imagine the type of construction that went into this home and down to all the carpentry and the magnificence and the architecture that went from room to room, there was absolutely no amount of expense spared. It's utterly magnificent. If you're back there, you'll never forget going there if you do. It's something there that when he went and he built this thing, it was the home of all homes. They literally had to build a city just for the workers, put in little shopping areas and homes for them, and laundries and grocery stores for the years it took the thousands to build it. And it's a magnificent, magnificent home, to say the least. He did all of this even before he got married. He designed, he was the fundamental architect himself and designer for most of the home. And then, but he wasn't married, he was a bachelor. And then one time he was on a trip to France. And while on a trip to France, he met a young girl who had been orphaned as a little child and was now living in France with her aunt. He met her and fell in love with her and married her. And after spending some 2 months on a honeymoon in Europe, He brought her home, and for the first time, she came into this estate. And as they entered, as they came, all of the servants were lined up all along this the roadway, some 2 miles or 3 miles, the road, just the driveway to get to the place. A few miles, take quite a while just to get there from the street. But it, there as they're lined up, and came into this absolutely fabulous, unbelievable home, the most magnificent, I imagine, in all of our country, bar none. I imagine Bill and Hillary would love it someday. But it's something to where it is absolutely unbelievable. While we're there, what a gift. Think of that. What a gift for this girl. Jean wanted it. I was going to get it for her, but then I realized, honey, it's just too gaudy for a pastor's wife. You can't do this. But the home, then aside from the home itself, it was filled. Absolutely filled with priceless objects from all over the world. Paintings and furniture and things that were brought in from all over the world. The ceilings, the way they're painted, brought in the greatest of European artists. Painted ceilings like they did in the Sistine Chapel. Unbelievable when you go through this and realize this is just somebody's house they lived in. Came by one piece of furniture, and it was a nice piece. It didn't look all that extravagant, but come to find it was absolutely priceless because it was a piece of furniture on which a container sat that held the heart of Napoleon. And it may not be valuable to you, but I'm sure it was Napoleon. But and when you look at these things and all that were amassed to put together to make this estate, and I'll tell you, many people would love to just dream in their whole life, not only maybe staying in a place like that, but own it. Imagine a gift like that. Imagine to have it, but I'll tell you, no matter what it is that you may think of as a gift, is something just to one day be brought into it and say, it's yours. It's a free gift. Married into it or something. Here, somebody just loved you and said, here. Picked you up as an orphan and brought you home and said, it's now yours. Well, I'll tell you, of all the gifts in all the world that have ever been offered, I don't believe there's anything as magnificent, though, is the gift that God gave. In John 3:16, when Jesus said, for God so loved the world, He gave. There, when God, as He looked at the world, I'll tell you, in all of eternity, in all of heaven and earth, no one will ever, ever turn to another being and ever say to them, thank you for the gift that you gave to me, that will even begin to touch the gift. God will never be out-gifted. In all of eternity, He won't. In all of heaven, it'll be something there that everyone will look at everything that was ever given and received from any other direction other than heaven and realize what God has given. What God has given and offered to man, not only He created us and He made us in His image, He forgave us of our sins. He gave us the gift of the atoning blood of Christ. He forgave us of all of our sins. And though our sins would be as scarlet, they become as white as driven snow, the Bible says. That's a gift. I'll tell you to stop to think of what it is to have the gift of eternally having your sin forgiven. To have absolutely no error, no failing, no sin ever accounted to yourself now and eternally. To ever think of one day to be able to go before the God of heaven Himself, surrounded by all of His glory and all of His majesty and all of His angels. All of His residence, beyond all of dreams it is, and then there to think of coming into it and to be a child of it, and to be accepted in it, and to be absolutely sinless. And when God would even turn to say, what right do you have here? And say, I have every right. You see, I am sinless. You're what? Yes, it was gifted to me by your Son who sits at your right hand. Have him look at the Son smiled and said, yes, Father, I'm the gift you gave for him. That's what Christmas to me is really simply all about. And it's interesting, the great tragedy is the world today is looking seemingly in every other direction for any other pittance of gift that falls so far short of it. Most people will accept far, far less when something like this is offered to them. Most people live and dream and think of something that is passing. They'll spend their whole life, they'll invest all of their effort into something that in reality is nothing. Nothing at all. We live in a valley and in a country and where today I suppose we're almost in the center of something as far as the rest of the world is in awe of what is going on here and much of its business, its enterprise, of its genius, of the capacity of putting together and building things. But yet at the same time, I'll tell you, as men and women maybe work days and dream nights of what it is that they can have and put together, nothing will ever come close to the gift, ever having anything like what is just free.
freely offered to them. Freely offered to them by God. As a matter of fact, Jesus one time, he asked the question there in a sense. He says, what profiteth a man if he gain the whole world? If he gain the entire whole world and yet he loses his soul, or what will a man give, Jesus said, in exchange for his soul? I tell you, there is nothing in all the world. There's no gift. There is no possession. There is no dream. There is nothing you can be or do or have that will ever touch the magnificence of one drop of the atoning blood of Christ. If there is one gift, that only one gift you ever acquire this entire lifetime, make sure it's that. It's that forgiving, atoning, loving blood of Christ. Peter writes about this and he says, knowing that you are not redeemed by corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish or without spot. I'll tell you, imagine, most people, you know, if you could imagine taking not just the Biltmore House, not just 125,000 little puny acres of this joint we call the earth, the world around us, or 175,000 square foot home, about 4 acres. And here as you would look at, I mean, this fabulous home, but I mean, take all of that and wrap it up with all the rest of the world. Jesus said, suppose you didn't just get, you know, a few thousand acres, 50,000, 100,000 acres, hundreds of thousands, you got wealth beyond all the dreams, you got power, you got success, all the, what profit is it if you gain the entire world and you lose your soul? And imagine seeing the whole world with everything that there is wrapped up in it and next to it. Just one drop of the blood of Christ. And God looks at you and says, which would you like? This one? Oh my, you can own it. This one, though, is the key to my home. The key to coming to be a part of me, the Father would say. That's what it is that when Jesus Christ, that's what Christmas is all about. As Paul said in Ephesians 2, he says, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off, you have been brought near by the blood of Christ. God looks at you and I, he says, no matter where you are, he says, the thing that's so magnificent is that's that blood that brings you near to God. You were once afar off and you were once hopeless, but that atoning blood, it is so powerful there that Jesus came into the world to give his life, the Bible says, a ransom for men. His blood was shed for us. He who knew no sin became sin for us, the Bible says. He took it all, and then his blood was shed to die in my place. That's what it is. When Jesus came to Jerusalem the last time, when he entered in the city knowing that in only days he was to suffer at the hands of wicked men, be hauled off to the cross, and there he would give his life on the cross. He stood outside the city and he wept. And he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, knowing his face was set like a flint, you know, towards the cross, he would not be taken from Jerusalem no matter what. This is the reason he came into the world, to die for the sins of the whole world. And as he now was heading into it, as he looked at the city for the last time from the outside, he said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets and killed them that are sent unto thee, how I would have as a hen have gathered thee under my wings, but you would not. He looks at the world there and he says, you know, he said, how I would love to just gather every one of you as a mother hen, gather her little chicks under her wings and just gather you unto myself. I love you so. But you would not come. I read a story the other day of a farmer, chicken farmer, who had a friend of his from the city out to his farm. And when he was out there one night, a weasel got into the hen house, the chicken house. And in the morning when the farmer went out and saw what had happened, he went and his friend from the city was also with him as they walked into the hen house. And as they came in, he looked and there was a hen. And as he stared at it for a moment, and he says, touch that hen. But they looked there as he came near the hen. They had all these little baby chicks who were sticking their head, you know, out from underneath the feathers of the hen. And he says, touch it. And he touched it, and it was stone dead. And he says, the weasel got in here last night and sucked every ounce of blood out of that mother hen. She never moved to protect her young. That's their nature. And there when Jesus, when he looked at you and I, and he came into the world as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, he uttered not a word. He went to the cross to give the greatest gift that anybody could ever dream of having is He just says, let me gather you under my wings. Let me bring you unto myself. Let me be the one that you could look at and know that in me all of your sins are forgiven. That's the greatest gift in the world it is. There is nothing near unto it. Everything else is a pittance. Everything else is just some thought of something that it's nice for a time. But if you've got all the gifts of all the world that were of all time given to you, but not that blood, not His forgiveness of your sins, you've got nothing at all. It's all over. But it's a gift you've got to receive for yourself. It's a gift that just sits there, in a sense, and is absolutely hopeless. It is powerless until you yourself take advantage of it and enter into the benefit of it. When Andrew Jackson was president of the United States, one time there was a court trial of a man and he was condemned to die. Feeling that it wasn't correct in what may have happened there, Andrew Jackson, as president, he pardoned the man. And as he wrote out this pardon, it was sent there, you know, to free the man from the death chamber there. The man rejected it. He was so angry and hostile, he rejected it. Well, then the next thing you know, the prison warden and the attorney general of the United States get involved and tell him, no, what do you mean? You can't reject this. They tried to convince him. You got to accept this. Well, he wouldn't. Finally, the attorney general of the United States went to the Supreme Court and asked, can we stop this man from dying and force him to accept this pardon? They said, no. It is merely written on paper, and it is valueless until he accepts it. And the man died. And I'll tell you, there is not a person here today that a pardon has not been written for you. I don't care who you are and what you've done. I don't care how great and many your sins are. The Bible tells us that Christ died not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Every man, woman, boy, and girl, out of every century, generation, kindred, tribe, and tongue, Jesus Christ came, and when He came into the world, He wrote out a pardon for you. And He gives it to you, but it is nothing until you look at it and take it. Grasp it under your heart. This is the gift I was created for. This is the gift I long for, the gift that would bring me into heaven. And Christmas is a time to stop and realize what a wonderful gift you've been given. There's not only a time in the sense of the gift, or in the midst of it is the giver as well. For you see, they're really inseparable. In the sense that both the gift and the giver are one. They're one. Jesus said in John 17:3, He says, and this is eternal life, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. A lot of people say, I want eternal life. I want to go to heaven. That's what I want. I want eternal life. And they think they've got it. But John 17, Jesus says, this is eternal life, knowing God and Jesus Christ whom He has sent. All that eternal life is sharing the life of the one who is eternal. When you receive the gift, you receive it by receiving the giver. You receive it, you know, there to realize that Jesus comes to you and He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into you. You'll be forgiven and I'll take up residence in you. The gift and the giver, they come together. For as Jesus said, God so loved the world, He gave His Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And it's a gift that not only you receive once, but it's a gift in a sense that goes right on giving and giving. For later on, the Apostle John writes, and he says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ goes on cleansing. It is something there that the blood of Christ, it not only forgives me initially, but it is a gift that keeps on giving and giving, to think that right now, you're not only, if you've come to Christ maybe in the past and you received that pardon, you're somebody that right now He ever lives, the Bible says, to make intercession for you. His blood is still cleansing. As you and I sit here this morning, as Jude says, now unto Him who is able to present you faultless, think of it. Now unto Him there who presents you faultless before God the Father. In Hebrews 7:25 it says, therefore He is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through Him, for He ever lives to make intercession. He presents you and I faultless. Right now you and I have the gift of being perfect. Not only are we forgiven, but God looks and He presents Jesus Christ, He presents us faultless Talk about a gift that gives and gives. Talk about what Christmas is. And on one hand, go on ahead. We all ought to give, for it is more blessed to give than receive. It ought to be a wonderful time of sharing and of giving to one another. But at the same time, don't miss the greatest gift of all. Perhaps some of you come today and you've never opened this gift. Oh, you've heard it's there, but you've never yourself taken the pardon. Realize God looks at you and says, I've issued it, but it is not valid. It is powerless. I won't force you into heaven. I won't force you there. Won't be anybody in heaven. You're going to find him sitting over there grumpy and hostile and angry and say, what are you doing here? And saying, the Attorney General of heaven made me come. I didn't want to come here. No, it won't happen. Every single one that's there will be there because they personally grabbed and embraced Christ. They're able to look at heaven and say, Father, you mean this? You want to take me, an orphan of this life, an orphan of this world, adopt me. That's what the Apostle Paul says. That's the exact analogy, essentially, that Paul gives. For he says they're the Spirit of God. He bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God, and if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Here Paul looks there and he says, if you come to Christ, the Spirit of God looks and he says, do you want to be adopted into the family of God? I'll make you an heir of God, a joint heir of Christ. That's a gift. That's a promise. It hasn't happened yet. He soon will come for us. Right now he's already given the gift, and right now he ever lives to care for us and intercede and to present us faultless. But the gift is still not yet fully given. It won't be given until finally the day that he calls you and I home to be with him. And then, as David said, I'll be satisfied when I am changed into your likeness. I'll be satisfied when I awake and I'm in your home. When there is something here in this life and we go through all the struggles, but one day Jesus will come for you and you'll come for me if we receive that pardon. Say, now the gift comes into its full. Here we hold it now. We have the promise of it, but it's yet unwrapped in many ways. We have the joy of it. We're forgiven. We're clean. It has yet to be opened by any one of us fully. It's open the day that then one day God calls us home, and there is we all of a sudden find ourselves ushered into heaven, and the servants of heaven and the angels of God line the streets to bring his adopted child into a place where eye hath not seen and ear has not heard and neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him, the Bible says. Think of it. I wonder what it is God has for you. I wonder what it is. You get spoiled. You go to a place like the Biltmore. And I go in there and all of a sudden I've seen something now. I never, before I went to the Biltmore, God could have given me not much. But now I've been to the Biltmore and my eye has seen and my ears heard and something has entered into the heart of man. I realize, wow, look at this place. What a fabulous house the Biltmore is. Well, now God says, well, we got to up the ante. Because you see, I'm going to give you something that is better than anything you've ever seen. I am going to give you something when you are in my presence that is better than anything you've ever dreamed of. And now I look at Lady Vanderbilt and say, sorry, step aside. I have a gift. Promise to me. We laugh, but I believe it with all my heart. I believe it without a wavering. It's the most wonderful thing in all the world. And this morning I tell you, God looks at you and how he'd love just to wrap his arms, to put his wings around you and gather you as his chicks unto himself and say, let me give you my gift. Let me give it to you. Oh, you don't have the right to it. You haven't earned it. That's what makes it a gift. So it qualifies as a gift. If you qualify for it, you can't have it as a gift. You would get to heaven if you'd earned it whatsoever, and say, then and God would just say, here's heaven, you earned it. There's your pay. But when we get to heaven and he gives it to us, and we weren't worthy, we didn't earn it, that's what makes it so wonderful. What a gift. But you must take it. Max Lucado tells a story of a man who goes into a store and he just needed some bread and coffee. And he's standing there in line, and as he's standing there in line, there's a lady right behind him with this huge shopping cart full of food.
And as she's just got this thing stacked high, as he comes up to pay for his food, next to the checkout stand, there's a fishbowl, and in the fishbowl, there's a whole bunch of cards, and the guy there at the checkout place, he says, here, you get to take a piece of paper out of the fishbowl. And he says, what is it? And he says, well, today, we have, if they're in the fishbowl, we have, whoever draws it, gets, if they draw a certain card in there, they get their purchases for free. And he said, I do. Well, it was quite a fishbowl, and there was a lot in it. And so he didn't think he had much chance anyway, and he didn't have much, but he reached in, and sure enough, he pulled out the one that says it was free. Well, then he's almost kind of bummed because he realized he's got coffee and bread. And he looks at this lady right next to him, and he says, honey, this is our lucky day. Look at what we got. And this lady's looking over at him. What? And he winks at her. And he says, look what we got. All our groceries are free. And she reaches over, she puts her arm in his, she says, isn't this wonderful? And there they packed it all up, and he went out and put it in her car for her, and off she went with what a story to tell her friends. But I'll tell you today, Jesus looks at you and I. He has no need of anything. But he holds the only card. And he looks at you. And he says, honey, today's our day. And as he winks, all he waits is now for your arm to reach into his. And say, oh, thank you. You and you in his heart to be wedded together. To be brought to one. You can have the joy of your sins forgiven. You can have the thrill of having him look at you and say, not only is the past forgiven, not only is the present interceded and protected, the future is guaranteed. What gift comes near to that? There is none. Is there? Have you taken it? Let's pray, shall we? Dear Father, how we thank you. How we praise you, dear Lord, for your wonderful love for us. Thank you, dear Lord, for the gift that you offer, Lord. And to think, Lord, of the toys and trinkets and things that we allow to preoccupy our life, the things that we so easily pursue and run after and want so desperately. And yet, Lord, they're little more than a little trinket compared to the estate and the glory that is yet to be revealed in you. And Jesus, I pray that this morning, that if there's any here that have known, perhaps, of your love, but have not slid their arm into yours, they have not looked up to you when you look at them and say, today's your day. It's free. It's a gift. May I give it to you. And Lord, I pray that right now there would be those, Jesus, who would just come to you and gather themselves under your wings and realize as they hide under you, and death would come, it'll never come upon us, for there you willingly, as a mother hen, gather us unto yourself and say, you're forgiven, stay here. Hide in me. I'll care for you. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone like that right now this morning, they would just open their heart and say, Jesus, come in. I want the gift. I want the giver, that I might be the gifted. And I just pray that, Jesus, right now, there would be those that would just open their heart. Come in. I want that drop of blood on my account that forgives and atones for me. And perhaps there's some of you as we're praying that this morning you would say, Don, I want to know I'm a Christian. I want to know that Christ is in my heart. I want to receive him. Wherever you are, like you, if you're here, and just to lift up your face, I see you, or lift up your hand. If I don't see you, and just, I want to pray with you before we go. If there's any today that I want to know, I want that gift. I want to slide my arm into his. I want to be under, yes, God bless you. Any others?
You want to know, lift up your hand. Just raise your hand. Just say, Don, pray for me before we go. I want to know I'm his. I want to know I'm taking that pardon. It's been issued, but now I'm not sure I have claimed it, and I want to lay claim to it. I want to know my sins are forgiven. God bless you over here on this side. Are there any others? Any others? But today, yes, God bless you over on the side. Any others? Before we go, I want the greatest gift in all the world. I want to open it. I want to receive its blessings and benefits. Don't go without it. You're going to be caught up in gift giving and receiving in the next few days, but don't miss the greatest. Any others? God bless you. Anybody else? Before we go, God bless you too, over here on the side too, both of you. Any others? God bless you in the back. Any others? Today, I want to know, I want that pardon. I want one day to wake in his likeness. I want one day to have the boldness to be able to enter in, as the Bible says, into his throne of grace. And in the balcony, today you'd say, I want him. I want to receive him. God bless you. Right back. Any others? Any others? God bless you over here on the side, the top. Today, Jesus saved me. I want my name written in your blood, in your book of life. God bless you. Any others? God bless you. Father, I just thank you for your great love. And Lord, I pray that today, right now, as people would just reach to you and realize, Jesus, I thank you for Christmas. We're so easily caught up in other things, but Lord, may there not be one of us who would miss the truth of it, the gift of it. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son. And Lord, today we just open our heart, each and every one of us, Lord, whether we've known you for years, be able to turn to you and say, thank you, Lord, you died for me. And receive your love and your power and your goodness afresh. May it be the prayer of all of us to be able to look to heaven and say, Jesus, thank you for the gift that goes on giving right now. I'm faultless. When I failed, Lord, you still cleanse. And Lord, to realize I have the promise that you're coming for me. And one day to take us out of this orphaned world and to bring us into yours. What a day it will be. How we thank you for it. And Lord, I pray that today each one who has prayed that prayer will know the gift is theirs. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.